just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. In Houston, welcome to Amplified Houston on 91.1 FM KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 FM in Galveston, 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of five nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, The Women's Home, The Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener-supported. Become a sustaining member today by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option 1. I am your host, Anna Coffey, and this is Amplify Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. In today's show, we'll speak with Nori Angel, president at the American Leadership Forum. But first, I want to let you know that Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, which is owned and operated by The Women's Home, a nonprofit organization. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. For further information, go to thewomenshome.org/cottageshop or call 713-526-4663. So, Nori, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's a great way to start the week.
Yes, it is. It's a great way to start the week. So let's go ahead and get started. Nori, you have had a fascinating career in nonprofits. Can you share a little bit about your work history and discuss your current role as president and CEO of the American Leadership Forum?
Sure. Well, I am someone who early on after graduating from college had this epiphany that I knew that I had to work hard, but I wanted my work to count. I wanted it to matter.
Yeah.
In 1998, I was fortunate to start my career in the nonprofit sector with an organization called SARE Jobs. And subsequently, I spent about 15 years at that organization and centering on workforce development. But for the last 5 years, I've been heading up American Leadership Forum. And I also am proud to say I am an alum, as you are, Anna, of ALF. And we are both what we call senior fellows of the American Leadership Forum.
Yeah, I have to say, many of our listeners probably are not familiar with American Leadership Forum, or ALF for short. But I have to really let our listeners know that ALF was an absolutely pivotal experience for me. I'm going to let you talk about what it is and what you do at ALF. But I have to say, it's a really powerful program. So Nori, share a little bit more about ALF and its purpose, its mission, and how it works.
Yes, well, thanks for that great plug about ALF. ALF is an organization that was founded in the early 80s and by a gentleman, a prominent lawyer named Joseph Jaworski, he grew up at a time witnessing what one could call a major leadership failure in our country. His father was Leon Jaworski, very prominent lawyer himself, who also was the chief prosecutor for Watergate, the Watergate trials. And so that really marked him and gave him the clarity and the purpose of what would it mean to bring leaders together in our community, not only to kind of explore their own inner leadership, but to build deep relationships with each other, so that together they can go out and serve what we call at ALF, the common good. And so when you talk about it being a very impactful experience for you, ALF is very unique as an executive leadership program that gives leaders a year to really explore their inner leadership, to strengthen their skills, and most importantly, to build deep community with diverse leaders throughout our region.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, My ALF class, some of my best friends in the world came out of my ALF class because you're with a class of other leaders in the community who you might not otherwise get to know. And the relationship that you build is very deep and very meaningful because of what you go through in this program. Nori, the part of the mission of ALF is to join and strengthen diverse leaders. Can you talk a little bit about how that's done and really what the purpose is behind that?
Sure. ALF is a really unique process because it is not a program that puts you in a classroom and talks at you for a year. It is really experiential. It's about you, the leader, and taking and we as ALF facilitate a process that supports leaders in their growth and development, and is also unique because we head to Colorado for a week for what we call the wilderness experience. And leaders get a chance to climb a mountain together to really challenge their own self-limiting beliefs. We spend time in nature and in dialogue, exploring some big life questions with each other, and also maybe challenging each other's beliefs that may no longer serve us and may no longer serve our society. And then ultimately, we hope that people have the clarity to focus their leadership impact in our community. They have the community to do leadership work together out in the world. And ultimately, like you said, what is the purpose? The purpose is to serve the common good together. And that's the key part, is serving the common good.
And we should also mention it's not just nonprofit leaders, it's leaders
That's right.
from every sector in the city that come together. So you get to meet people who are doing big things, who you wouldn't any you wouldn't otherwise get to meet.
Exactly.
So Nori, before we came on, I was explaining to you about why I wanted to do this radio show. At the women's home, we watch women walk through fire, frankly. And get to the other side and do some incredibly hard work on themselves, on their community, on their families. And it's a daily inspiration for me. And so I thought this would be a good venue to shine a spotlight on other women who do hard things. What are some of the hard things that you've done that might be of interest to our listeners?
Well, I have done, I think as women and as leaders, we have to do hard things all the time. As someone who grew up in a household where my parents were immigrants from other countries, from Latin America, I've seen them do really hard things in service to their family, and I am the product of that. One of the hardest things I've had to do working in the nonprofit sector for so many years was actually my first CEO role as the executive director of Sarah Jobs. The organization had just gone through major funding loss. We went literally from $5.3 million to a $250,000 budget overnight. Had to lay off 80 plus employees, closed down centers. I mean, it was just a big, major transition. And at the time, I was serving as an interim ED executive director through this process and pretty much ready to leave and go about my life. And the board came to me and said, would you be interested in serving as the permanent executive director? And my initial answer was no. And then with some thought to it, I realized it really couldn't get any worse. And so what did I have to lose as someone who'd never served in a CEO role, had some training, had a background, had a desire to serve community. And so, hey, let's go for it. And while that sounds like a great story, it was actually a really, really hard process to build an organization back up. And everything that it took a lot of personal sacrifice, and not to mention a lot of time and effort to bring the organization back to life.
And as you walked through that process of really remaking that nonprofit and rebuilding it, what were some of the things that you had to overcome and address and really focus on in order to get there? And more importantly, how did you keep yourself stable in a place of equanimity as you did that?
I think community was so important at that time, being able to rely on relationships that I had formed over the years. The same folks that cut our funding were actually the same ones that came back first as a funder because of the relationship that had been established with this funder. I'll say that being able to tap into the relationships and the network that we had, that I had established over the years, being willing to make a personal sacrifice. Honestly, I remember reading something that if you want to know what the secret to my success is call me in my office at 9 o'clock at night. Like literally, it took a lot of long days and nights, and it took some luck, I would say. Like you kind of have to put yourself out there, and you just don't know what doors will open. And that actually was one of those situations where I made a phone call to the city of Houston randomly, not randomly. I was researching green jobs, and I made a phone call to someone at the city. Googled it, and she said, "Hey, we're meeting at noon. Why don't you show up and join us for this collaboration that we're forming?" And so I was like, "Okay," grabbed my purse, headed downtown. Next thing you know, I'm part of a collaborative for these green jobs. This was when we were still talking about green jobs. And that effort, that random coincidental synchronous call, create ended up resulting in a Department of Labor grant for SARE jobs for $3.1 million. So those
Wow,
are the
that's
kind of
phenomenal.
lucky things that happen in your path.
There's a pattern developing as I do these interviews with people. First of all, showing up is just so is a fixture in every story. Like you said, I just grabbed my purse and I went.
I just went.
You showed up, and that is, like, as they say, 90% of life is just showing up. And then the other two things, many of my guests have talked about the role that community plays and how important it is to have that community around you, which is certainly a really big value for the women's home. And then the last thing is the power of relationships. And so I love that you mentioned that, because that's also such a fixture in the belief system of ALF.
Yes, that's the whole value of it is the power of
It really, it's so
those
important. I
relationships.
cannot understate the importance of having that community around you. Speaking of ALF, you do ask fellows to do hard things that are way outside of their comfort zone. Like you mentioned, you climb a mountain. I remember rock climbing in my, I'd never rock climbed before. I was terrified, but I did it. And also, ALF introduced me to rappelling, which I came to love as a sport. And you have to share something called a 7-minute story. First of all, can you explain the 7-minute story to our listeners? And then let's talk about some of those hard things and why you ask fellows to go through them.
Yes, so the 7-minute story is such a unique thing to ALF. It's an opportunity as we enter the ALF fellowship to share who we are beyond our roles out in the world. So it's about sharing what made you you. What were some of those pivotal moments in your life? Tell us more about your ancestors, as an example. And this is, starts to shape for people a real sense of who you are as a person. And it goes beyond, like I said, position. It goes beyond role. And I find that it's what ultimately creates that unique bond in the class as they start their fellowship.
It's a really special thing. So, Nori, why do you ask fellows to do hard things? Why do you ask them to get outside of their comfort zone?
Because leadership is hard. We say at ALF, leadership is lonely and it requires trusted relationships, which is why we do all of the things we do at ALF to build that community. We say leadership is messy, and in order to, you got to jump into that mess and try to, as a leader, hold other people, hold the community together long enough that they can make it through that mess, which we call at ALF disequilibrium. We are dealing with a lot of disequilibrium in our society right now, and our work as leaders right now is to hold steady and hold space for others as well, to sit in it long enough to gain some clarity, better understand these complex issues that we're dealing with, to learn new things, because it takes time to learn and ultimately do these things so that we can move forward, find common ground, and thrive as a society together. That's what we say is the work of leading.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to take a quick break to talk about how this show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all, and almost every one of the people who work here to bring you this show are volunteers. In fact, I think they work for coffee. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option 1 to become a sustaining member today. If you're just joining us, this is Anna Coffey on Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, and I am interviewing Nori Angel, CEO of the American Leadership Forum. So, Nori, let's talk a little bit about the mission to join diverse leaders. ALF makes a special point of making sure that the classes are very diversified, and that they represent a wide range of belief systems, socioeconomic groups, and underrepresented backgrounds. So how do you empower those emerging diverse leaders to step into roles of influence? And why is that an important value of ALF?
I think that ALF gives people time and space to really kind of sit with those big life questions and get clarity about what is the leadership impact that they want to have. And with that clarity, they also build a strong community in their class and in our ALF network of 1,700 leaders. They build that community that helps propel them forward. So nobody does anything by themselves. It really does take people working together and willing to support each other across difference. And because of the ALF experience, people have that time and space to gain that clarity. They have time and space to build deep relationships with folks, so that at the end of this process, and as they continue on their leadership journey, they're able to have a bigger impact out in the world.
And I think it's a really important component that people who are normally underrepresented are included, are brought to the table.
Absolutely.
And that we as leaders are interacting with people that we wouldn't normally interact with. And that strengthens our leadership, I believe.
That's right. ALF, it creates what I call a microcosm of the region. You have the full range of diversity in each class. And I mean sector diversity. I mean demographics. I mean political diversity. LGBTQ representation, the arts, the faith leaders, different corporate sectors. And so that is a really powerful experience to cross paths, not just on a superficial level, but in a very meaningful and deep way, and hear those diverse perspectives. In fact, this last year, we had a cohort that out of the 26 members of the class, had 10 immigrants from 10 different countries represented in one class.
Wow.
Now, we
talk
about
amazing.
Houston being diverse, the most diverse city, and it is, but that doesn't mean that we necessarily live that diversity.
Yes.
And have that experience in such close proximity to folks who truly paths you would not cross, and do it in a meaningful way, it's a beautiful thing to see. It's an example of what's possible for the world.
Yeah. So these days are hard. There's a lot of turmoil in our world. There's a lot of things changing really fast. I had Amanda McMillan on the show last week, and we talked about just the pace of change and the extenuating circumstances of our world. Can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges that leaders are facing today in our current environment?
I think, as I shared earlier, leaders are facing a lot of disequilibrium right now. Our country, our world, our community, it feels, it's really out of balance. We're dealing with a lot of divisiveness. People are polarized. we're not all having a shared reality experience right now. And so
That's a good way to put it.
our work as leaders is to hold space, hold people and with a lot of empathy right now, because we're not in alignment as a people. We don't see world the same way. Hold people with a lot of empathy and grace, long enough that we can and seek to find common ground. So this is a time to really go back to our values as a community, values as an organization, values as a country, as a society, and find those shared values, those things that make us Americans, or senior fellows in our case, so that we can better serve the world. I mean, we are here to be of service, and that's what we believe leadership is about.
So I think the term disequilibrium is so ideal for what we're going through these days as leaders. And I really appreciate your observation that we have to get to know each other on a more personal level to have the empathy. We have a friend in common who likes to say, it's really hard to hate up close.
That's right.
I think it makes such a difference. I know that after the election, I had several friends and acquaintances who had very, very different political views than from me, come and kind of feel me out and see, like, okay, did our friendship end, or can we keep on being friends? And we kept on being friends because we had known each other in a in a context that had nothing to do with politics, and we had formed a bond. And this goes across several areas of my life, from my gym buddies to, friends that I've had for, 20 plus years. I think that's been a really important thing as we go through this world and all the disequilibrium, is to hold on to people who don't agree with us on one issue, but we've already got a bond with them on a much deeper level. And I think that will help us to weather a lot of what our world is going through right now. So we only have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you, with all the turmoil in the world today, what advice do you have for leaders who are overstressed in their roles? There's a lot of shifting going on in the leadership community in Houston right now, and a lot of people making decisions to step down from leadership roles because of the extreme stress that people are under. And I want to hear from you, your advice for those leaders.
Great question, and something that we're always, and me specifically, I'm always trying to practice. And it's really the art of stepping away in the midst of the chaos that we're sometimes dealing with, and the exhaustion that is real, and burnout that many leaders are dealing with. I think that that's a cue from your body and from your mind asking you to step away. A great place to step away is into nature. Spend some time outdoors, spend some time reconnecting with the natural world, looking at the natural cycles in nature and applying those into our own lives. I know that sounds so airy-fairy, but the truth is that the body needs rest, the mind needs rest, and it's the only way that, by stepping away, that sometimes we get clarity. So we can come back and, fight another day, so to speak.
Yeah, and when you talk about stepping away, it doesn't have to be for a long time or extended period. Like, I will oftentimes on a Saturday or Sunday go for a walk in Herman Park, and just find that to be so restorative. All right. Well, one last question before we close out, Nori.
Yes.
What is one small thing that brings you joy?
One small thing that is bringing me joy right now is our granddaughter, Ella. She loved looking at the world from her 18-month-year-old eyes, and just how incredibly present she is. And it doesn't matter what she's doing, she's just in the moment. And I get a lot of joy being with her and learning from her.
That is so beautiful. I I have told my kids that time is a wasted and I need to be a grandmother sooner rather than later.
Oh,
But
I
they're not
wish that
listening
for
to
you.
me.
Yeah.
That's okay. I've adopted a few grandchildren since my kids are living their lives and not living mine. So
Right. That's good. Good for them.
Nori,
Good
if
for
people
you.
want to learn more about American Leadership Forum, where should they go?
I invite folks to visit us at www.ALF, which is A as in Apple, L as in Larry, F as in Frank, ALFHouston.org. So that's www.ALFHouston.org.
Great. Well, I want to thank our guest, Nori Angel, CEO of the American Leadership Forum. I also want to thank KPFT. I also want to let you know that Amplified Houston is supported in part by the Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer Road in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home, a nonprofit, and proceeds from the Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Be sure to stay tuned for Gulf Streams with Weston Twardowski for the latest environmental and climate news in the Gulf Coast region and beyond. This is Anna Coffey on Amplify Houston, the Women's Edition, over and out.
Hi, this is Linda. I was assaulted by the Harris County Sheriff's Department, and Ray Hill invited me to come on the prison show. I knew Ray, and I had been being stalked pretty much after I was assaulted and filed a complaint. And after I came on the prison show and talked, the Sheriff's Department decided to leave me alone, and that was in 1991 or 92. KPFT, I think, has been there for a lot of people who were being persecuted.
We love hearing from our listener sponsors. KPFT is only possible because of small donations from listeners just like you. Become a member today by calling 713-526-5738 and choose option one, or visit kpft.org to make a secure donation. Thanks for supporting your community radio station, 90.1 KPFT.
Boarding the boat, it's gonna float. Music is a cranking every note. Only the best, a real acid test. Dark star rising in the east and the west. It's the Dead on the Lake Cruise, Saturday, September 6th from 1 until 4. Reserve your seat with a $150 donation or a $275 donation for a pair. 713-526-5738, option 1, or kpft.org. Cruising the lake, which route to take? Don't know where we're going, but it's not a mistake. We're peeking now. We all say, wow, glad that the captain is right there at the bow. And we hope donations might cross your mind.